The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. We got so much to talk about today. I say that every day, but legitimately, there's not enough time in the day to talk about all of the stuff that goes on in the world. But DeMar Hamlin, I hope the guy actually comes out of this and becomes a great guy. I hope that he don't get crazy and then we all did this for nothing. But anyway, I think that when we look at the totality of circumstances, this was an amazing miracle. Most people in his position would have never recovered. This was a show, and let me say this, and I know that this is not as extreme as 9/11. Now, let me just keep that clear, because of the shock factor of death and destruction is more prominent in the minds and consciousness of people than something that's miraculous, rooted in love and compassion. So I want to make sure that's very clear. There would never be a scenario where love and compassion will stain the memories of people more so than death and destruction. It just won't happen. It's the way humans are made up. However, a close second, in my personal opinion, was DeMar Hamlin. When that young man went down with that injury and he had lost consciousness in front of the world, I have never seen so many people praying. I have never seen so many people mentioning God. I've never in my life seen a person on ESPN pray on national TV. Now, he should have said in Jesus' name, because then that tells me that he's not reading his Bible as much. But it's the thought and the perception that counts, the pursuit that counts, not the perception, but the pursuit. I think in good faith, he prayed on national TV. He took the chance. I don't think it was scripted. Prayed to the Lord on national TV. Everybody in the world is watching what happened to this young man, and they watched him recover. In my personal opinion, that should be a sign that God is moving and operating in our day and time. Some people may not want to believe it, but you can't deny the facts and the reality and truth. To watch people come together the way they did was astonishing to me. It made my heart melt watching so many people of all walks of life, people that don't even watch football, they prayed for DeMar. People that watch football that are currently playing football, they were praying for DeMar. People that don't play football play other sports. I mean, people that don't play sports at all, they're in the celebrity realm. People that just the everyday working person is on Twitter saying, I'm praying for this kid. I'm praying for this kid. And those are just people who are talking about it. People who are talking about it on social. Imagine the people who are praying about him or praying for him that didn't ever say anything. His nonprofit organization blew up. His notoriety blew up. In my personal opinion, God was glorified. And I couldn't ask for anything better than that. The sad part is a lot of people missed it. A lot of people consumed themselves with worrying about the vaccine and all of the controversy and theologies or whatever around this, but they missed the point that look at what God was doing. It's not about the vaccine. And nobody's even, it's not even verified that the kid took the vaccine in the first place. And even if on record it says he took the vaccine, do you really know if he took the vaccine? Because I cannot confirm or deny that some NFL players said they took the vaccine, but they didn't. Now, I'll leave it up to you to figure out how that can happen. But it wasn't about the vaccine. It's not about black or white. It's not about football, basketball. It's not none of that. It's about a man in need, and the country came together to pray, and he recovered. And I would argue because of the prayers, the fervent prayers of believers. Now, this doesn't come without controversy. Because you got people that are dumb. They cannot resist the fact of making everything out to be victim-related or racist. Let me give you an example. I made a video about the women on The View. And they were talking about trying to make it a big deal that conservatives like football more and white supremacy. I mean, they really wanted to make it about white people and about conservatives and tried to make it bad. Now, here's a even dumber take. It says a magazine roasts, they get roasted for claiming that football is racist after DeMar Hamlin collapses. It says a recent Scientific American Opinion was blasted on Twitter for using the cardiac arrest of the NFL player DeMar Hamlin to suggest that football's violence disproportionately affects black men. These people, I can't, what are you even talking about? Violence on a, can we argue that the inflictor of violence is disproportionately represented by black players? I mean, remember when Jack Tatum, my great uncle, Jack Tatum comes down the middle of the field, hit that dude, he was paralyzed. That's black on black violence. Look at DeMar Hamlin. I mean, he got hit by another black player. You know, go and look at a highlight tape right now. Go to YouTube and type in, not right now if you're driving. I don't want you getting a crash and say Brandon told you to do it. All you got to do is go on YouTube, look up NFL knockouts. 99% of them are black players knocking out black or white players. What are y'all even talking about? Duke University's anthropology professor Tracy Canada wrote a piece Friday headlining that DeMar Hamlin's collapse highlights the violence black men experience in football, during which she claimed that the anti-blackness of the system is inescapable. She wrote, I can't stop laughing, this woman is stupid. She wrote, as a cultural anthropologist, I've spent the last decade learning how black college football players navigate the exploitation, racism, and anti-blackness that are fundamentally in its current system. Despite the article's title, Canada later admitted, I am not aware of any research that compares the rate of injury between black and white players. But she said it anyway, because she's a nut. Numerous personalities obviously attacked the article because it deserved attacking. Listen, let me tell you something. If you walking through life and everything is about race, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be stripped of your titles and go lay down somewhere. Because racism, first of all, America is probably the least racist place for you to live. Second of all, football offers so many opportunities to minorities. Listen, let me tell you this. I couldn't afford to go to college. My daddy didn't have the money. My mom and them didn't have the money to send me to a four-year college and pay for it. We ain't had the money. But because of football, I was able to get a scholarship, full ride, to any university I wanted to go to. I could have went to, I mean, I don't know if my grades are good enough to go to Stanford. Let me not lie to y'all. But I could have went to LSU. I had scholarships from LSU, at Miami, Florida. I had everywhere in the Pac-12 or Big 12. I don't even know the conferences now, but I think it's the Big 12. Everyone in Big 12 except Texas. All the Pac-12. All the Big 10. All of the SEC, ACC, just about. I had scholarships everywhere. I was a top player in the nation. That afforded me an opportunity to go get a free education. How is that the system of white supremacy? And let me tell you this. To be honest, it's not because I worked hard. It's because genetically, my family, the Tatum bloodline, is predisposed to athletic excellence. I'm just being honest. My brother was even a greater athlete than me. He ran a 4.2 and a 40. My brother, and this is documented. You can't even deny what I'm saying. My brother, as a sophomore in high school, he ran a 40. And for people that know track and field, my brother ran a 46 400-meter dash, a 46-second 400-meter dash. The Olympic record is like 43. My brother was a sophomore in high school, ran a 46 open 400-meter dash. He ran a 45 open or a 45 on a 4x400-meter relay. My brother was a crazy athlete. And the same year he did that, he won a powerlifting contest where he squatted like 500 or 600 pounds. And he was a defensive back. Sophomore in high school. My brother wasn't even 18 yet. A freak athlete. Now, I would argue that black people have an advantage athletically because of what our ancestors went through. All you got to do, who's the fastest man in the world? A black man. Who's the coldest? I mean, I say coldest. Who's the most dynamic athletic basketball player that you know of? Height and physicality. A black man. Who go down the list. Football players. Greatest running back. Greatest defensive backs. Greatest wide receiver. The most athletic quarterback that you can ever think of. Well, probably a black quarterback. So the predisposition that black people have is an advantage. And football affords you to take advantage of that advantage to further your life. We'll talk about it more right after the break. Hold the phone. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDTaxRelief.org just got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, a church, or a nonprofit and pay your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the government's CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay upfront companies who make you do the work and take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDTaxRelief.org. Visit COVIDTaxRelief.org now because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDTaxRelief.org, COVIDTaxRelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee and not all businesses qualify. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alves Tatum Show. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt very soft in the store, but then when you got it home, it didn't absorb very well? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you, shockingly enough. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. They come with in a variety of colors, and right now you'll receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer of the six-piece towels, of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code Brandon or call 800-976-8379. All right. Let me just finish my statement on this, and I want to talk about the shooting in Houston, Texas, where the Good Samaritan may end up going to prison. So, back to this fool that wrote this article about black people experiencing trauma. Football is probably one of the most rewarding things and probably have made more millionaires and made more, I would say created more 1% earners than any other profession anywhere ever. I don't know. Show me a profession where a kid at the age of 18. I mean, you talk about sports in general. Look at basketball. You can leave out of high school. Show me a sport that a 23-year-old can turn into an instant millionaire. Show me another job career that you don't necessarily need to go to school and invest all this money to become an instant millionaire. Every year in the NFL draft, there's hundreds of kids that their lives are being changed forever and they become millionaires. And if they manage their money right, they can turn that and flip that money, flip that notoriety into doing something better. Football is probably one of the most incredible opportunities for black people. And a man getting hit in the chest in a freak accident, that's violence against black people on the football field. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Almost everybody on the field is black. And I'll tell you what, thanks to our ancestors, we just have an advantage. I'm just telling you, we have an advantage. I just have an advantage. Some of my white friends had nowhere near the athleticism I had. Was it their fault they worked just as hard as I did? No, it's genetically we have an advantage. And instead of black people like this fool coming out and exploring those advantages and speaking life to the great opportunity that Hamlin had. Look at the support that he had. You know, it just reminds me how stupid people really are. And I use that word because I'm frustrated at the way people act. You're talking about a man that collapses on the field. Who was the people out there doing CPR on him? Black or white? I saw nothing but white people doing CPR on him. Now, I know it's their job, but they're still white. Clearly, they didn't do a poor job. They did the best they can to save his life. He got transported to a hospital. They did the best they could to save his life. And I guarantee the doctor them were white. Did the best they could to save his life. And they did an incredible job. He's back to life. Talking, moving, celebrating, watching the football game. All of it. He tweeting. Like, come on, bruh. When I was in college and it was nothing but black athletes and all the people, we got treated like kings. They were kissing our butts everywhere we went. You on camp, especially if you're good. We sucked. We were losing almost every game. But you go to Georgia? Can you imagine as a black athlete at the University of Georgia? They kissing your butt. You go, your teacher in the class, they'll make sure the athletes don't fail. Listen, some of y'all may not want to hear it, but I'm just keeping it 100. There's so many perks being an athlete. So much love. And you know who love you? White people. White people bending over backwards for these athletes. Treating them like superstars. Kings. And to me, it's just a sport. But to a lot of people that support the sport, it's more than a sport. You know, and it makes me upset the way people are always trying to be victims. You know, when young black players go to these major white universities, quote unquote, instead of an HBCU, it's elevating them in life to be the best version of themselves. They treat you better. You have better opportunity at these, quote unquote, white universities than you at HBCUs. Why do you think Deion Sanders went to a college that wasn't an HBCU? And go back and look at the history of him and the way they treated him at the HBCU. Uh-huh. Okay. And I feel like a person with a connected brainstem won't look at it as an opportunity or a negative for Deion Sanders to elevate like that. He should look at it as an opportunity for Deion Sanders to then elevate other black coaches. And players from all around the country come there and get an experience that you would never get anywhere else. They ain't never had experience at their high school like this. And you give them an opportunity. Let me move on to another topic, but that lady is dumber than a bag of rocks. Tracy Canada. I want you to remember that name. She should get suspended for being that dumb. All right, let me move on to the other topic. There was a topic of, and I made a video about this on my YouTube channel, of the gentleman that went from hero to felon. And I don't know if politics will allow him not to be charged. I definitely couldn't care less about the life of the fool that came in there robbing people at gunpoint. He ended up having a fake gun, but he deserved every bullet that hit his body. He deserved it. I don't feel sorry for him, not one bit. You have no business going into an establishment with a gun, even if it's fake or not, presenting it as a real gun, threatening people, scaring the daylights out of them, got them running and screaming and crawling on the ground as you robbed them. You deserve every bullet that went into your body. I don't feel sorry for him at one minute. You had no business doing that. You got what you was coming to you. Now let's go to the law. So if you guys are not familiar with this situation that happened at a taco shop in Houston, Texas, you can see the video is going viral everywhere where you see the guy robbing everybody and then the patron is sitting down. Once the robber kind of walked past him towards the back door, he pulls out his gun and he shoots him. Now, every article or every video online that's censored, they don't show the actual shooting, but I got the video of the actual shooting. And the guy probably put himself in prison now because lawfully he was not justified in what he did at the end. Let me walk you through the scenario because I don't know if we have video B-roll. But I'll walk you through the scenario, so visualize this in your mind. You have a robber coming in. He's robbing all the patrons. He goes to walk out the back door. He still has his gun out. He still has it pointed towards people. Once he walked past the patron, he pulls his gun out and he starts to shoot the guy. The guy goes down near the front door. His gun falls out. The patron continues to shoot him. And this is where it went from self-defense to murder. He continues to shoot the guy. He walks up to him, shoots him in the back and in the head multiple times while the guy's laying there lifeless with the gun off to the side. The guy then picks the suspect's gun up and then shoot him one more time in the head. Pow. And then he leaves the scene. He don't stay and communicate with police. And there's probably many reasons why. But unfortunately, a good Samaritan may be going to prison. Hold the phone. We'll continue the conversation after the break. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store? But then when you go home to use it, it's not even absorbent. It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors. And right now, you can receive a six-piece for only $39.98 with promo code Tatum. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, code Tatum. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I want to just finish the conversation about the gentleman who was a good Samaritan, and they haven't charged him with anything, mind you. They're asking him to come in for questioning, but the Good Samaritan in Houston, Texas, at the taco shop that decided to take action. And I really believe that he did the right thing initially. But I wanted to just make sure that I had this conversation on the radio because this man, he was a hero. And I think, sadly, he's probably going to go to prison because – using deadly force, let me explain this to us, because some people may not be familiar, they may not understand. And I would argue if you carry a gun around, you need to be well familiar and well versed on the law and what deadly force is and what it is not. Now, according to majority of the law nationwide, deadly force can be used if a person feels that their life is in immediate danger of physical bodily injury, serious physical bodily injury, or death. So if you fear that you can suffer serious bodily injury or somebody can kill you, you can use deadly force against that person. Now, deadly force is not murdering somebody or killing them. A person can die as a result of use of deadly force, but your intent is not to kill that person. Your intent to is eliminate them as a threat of serious bodily injury and or death. So in the scenario that I'm referring to with the suspect running around in a building, once he begins to walk out of the door, he's no longer a threat to you. Now in this scenario, he still had a gun pointed at somebody when he was walking out. So the Good Samaritan that shot him was initially justified because he could have personally believed that the gentleman at the next to the door that had the gun pointed at him could have been killed. Maybe the guy wanted to kill one more person before he walked out or something, or kill a person before he walked out. So he was justified. But once you shoot a person and they're lifeless, they're no longer a threat, you have to stop shooting them. Same thing applies to police officers. Once you shoot a person and it's clear and you can articulate that they're no longer a threat, you have to stop shooting them. This is not the movies. This is not a game. You don't get to shoot them till they die. That's how you end up going to prison. And so with him shooting that guy multiple times while he's on the ground lifeless, with the gun then fell in the corner somewhere, and then standing over him and shooting him, then picking up his gun and shooting him one more time in the head, that just changed the situation to becoming a murder. Becoming a homicide. And I believe that they are putting it out in the atmosphere, on media and in the ether, that they just want to question him. And as a former police officer, I know what that means. That means we want you to peacefully come down here and incriminate yourself. Because we already know what it is. And we don't want him to get spooked and not tell the truth or flee or do something like that. You know, we want him to come down peacefully and give a statement because it looks like a crime. Now, they're going to be nice to you. They're going to butter your toast. They're going to have you come in there, and then you're going to go to jail from there 9 times out of 10. In a situation like that, as a civilian, you need a lawyer. You need a lawyer, and your lawyer will tell you what you should say and what you shouldn't say because your good Samaritan behavior just turned into a crime. And if he doesn't turn himself in or come down and cooperate, they may actually pursue him, and they'll have an arrest warrant out for him. And I think they got enough evidence to get him in court. And here's another thing. I didn't mention this in my YouTube video. Is that he hasn't come to the police. Right? He hasn't come to the police. He didn't even stay to deal with the police at the scene. You got to think. He shoots and kills this guy. He steps over his body and left. He said goodbye to everybody, waved at him, and he threw the gun against the wall because it was fake, and he stepped over the man's body and left. Now, by law, you don't have to stay at the scene. But then you have to ask yourself, in a situation like that, wouldn't you consider staying at the scene until police get there so they can take the police report and get your side of the story? But what could have possibly happened is that the man could have been, I'm not saying this is the truth, but he could have been an illegal person, or he could have been a person that was a prohibited possessor. So one of two things will make you not, or be drunk. But one or two of those things make you not want to interact with police. And if you're drunk, you go home, you come back, they don't know if you drank while you was at home or not. So they may not be able to determine you were drunk when you were doing the shooting. But anyway, I got to go to the break, but I'll tell you about Relief Factor first. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and I feel amazing taking Relief Factor. 100% drug-free. You don't have to go to a pharmacy and do all that other stuff. You can legitimately go on to ReliefFactor.com, get started with the 3-week quick starter. It's literally a packet with like 4 pills in it. You take it with some water. And I'd say some people may take one day and they feel better. Some people may take about a week. But what you want to do is get it in your system, watch it work, and order more. So go to ReliefFactor.com, get the 3-week quick starter for $19.95, or call in 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do taking Relief Factor.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I was right. Now, I'm not right because I'm just this brilliant Brandon Tatum. I'm right because I have experience in law enforcement. So this article reads, it says how police avoid spooking the Idaho murder suspect. And I want us to understand this because this is very crucial. When this murder situation came out, it was a lot of open-ended questions. And I said on this radio show, I said, there could be a lot of things that police have and they just can't say. They can't come out and say it because if you say we found a suspect in this situation, the person who did the killing know that they own to him. And what are they going to do? They're going to start hiding evidence. They're going to start fleeing. The guy may commit suicide, all of the above. And you can't say we found a murder weapon or we found evidence of a murder weapon. You say that, then the suspect knows, oh, crap, I left the sheath to the knife. They got it. They got DNA. You know, then they start. And then you catch him at some point, and then he changes story. And he say, you know, I never had a sheath. All of those things are apparent in this situation and occur in police interactions or police investigations. How do you know this, Mr. Tatum? Because I was a cop and I also was a public information officer. So I knew that when I would tell things to the media, I knew that we weren't telling them everything because we have to be strategic. We already know who the suspect is, but we can't tell the public that because we don't want to spook nobody. We don't want nobody skipping town. We want the suspect to think that we're not on to you. We have no idea you did it. You are brilliant. You're so smart. You got away with this one, buddy. And in the meantime, the police officers already had the evidence of the sheath. They had already had him suspected. They already had evidence of the vehicle. They've already had all of these things that they were honing in on. So that when you see an arrest being made in a case like this, they didn't get it wrong. Because when you make an arrest, officially, the clock starts at when that person has to be prosecuted. Or at least the person has to go before a grand jury. The evidence has to be presented. It's a time clock. You can gather as much evidence as you need before you arrest the person. And it almost works out in the benefit if you got the person who's not going to hurt anybody else, but they're still lingering around because you could just gather so much information. The problem would be if you rush, you hastily, and you rush into arresting the first person you think did it, but you didn't have enough information. You have to present that to a grand jury in a few days. And if you don't have sufficient amount, they may not bring the charge to. They may not accept the charges. And then therefore, your whole case is blown. But they were working tirelessly to make sure they had everything lined up. Let me show you a couple things, or at least read to you a couple things that I'm talking about. It says, one bit of information initially not shared publicly was the review of surveillance. So they didn't tell the public that they had reviewed surveillance footage from the area around the home brought to investigators' attention about the white sedan, later identified as the Hyundai Elantra, according to the probable cause affidavit released Thursday. It says by November the 25th, law enforcement in the area had been notified to be on the lookout of such a vehicle. And several days later, officers at nearby Washington State University, where the suspect was a graduate student in the criminal justice program, identified a white Elantra and subsequently found its registered owner to be the murderer. This was just part of the behind-the-scenes work in a complex quadruple homicide investigation where any hint to the public about the suspect or the various leads police were following could cause it to fall apart. Let me read you a quote. It says, we don't want to tip off suspects or spook them so that they end up going on the run. We don't want them to try to get rid of evidence or destroy things, which is what one of the individuals said, who's a retired NYPD sergeant, pretty much saying the same thing I'm saying. It says, there's a lot of people in the public that need to apologize to the police department that Mascot, Idaho police chief took a beating and he kept moving ahead. I made mention to you guys, I said they probably got information that they can't release. I've been a part of high-end investigations like this, and we had to be tight-lipped. Yes, we had a murder weapon, but we didn't want the suspect to know we had his weapon. We want the suspect to think the weapon is outstanding. Maybe they'll come back to the scene to try to recover it because they know that we don't have it. At least they think we don't. We don't want to put out to the public. Everybody, we're on the lookout for a Hyundai Elantra. The guy who killed these kids were a criminal justice major. He probably thought he would outsmart the police. And so us saying we have no leads, we have no suspect vehicles. He's just riding around because he think nobody saw him. So why wouldn't he go to class? Why wouldn't he go to work? Why wouldn't he drive around the city? Because he think they don't have any idea that his car, he thought he escaped. He thought he was smart. And meanwhile, he's driving around creating more and more evidence and tracking the police in more of a direction towards him. Also, the witness account was not revealed until the arrest. It says a crucial clue not shared by police was that one of the two roommates who survived told investigators that she saw a masked man dressed in black in the house the morning of the attack. It says the roommate identified in the document a DM, said she heard crying in the house that morning and a male's voice say, it's okay, I'm going to help you. DM said that she then saw a figure clad in black clothing and a mask that covered his mouth and nose walking towards her. So one of the people, the young lady, saw the man walking towards her. It says also the description said he was 5'10", tall, male, not very muscular. but athletically built with bushy eyebrows. The suspect driver's license information, which was reviewed by investigators in late November, are turned out to be consistent with the description that she gave. So they already had him way before they told the public. And let me say this before I get off here, is that be mindful of these things before you criticize the law enforcement officers. Just be mindful. They may be on to something. They just can't tell everybody. Hold the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, be back after the break.
Seek and ye shall find. God's Got Your Six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Man, a crazy situation out there in Virginia. A teacher shot by a six-year-old while trying to confiscate the gun, parents revealed. It says the first grade teacher in Virginia who was shot by her six-year-old student was about to confiscate the gun when the child pulled the trigger. She was going to confiscate it, and that's when he shot, Brittany Gregory said, whose son was in the class. This particular teacher, Abby Zwerner, 25, was shot about 2 p.m. Friday at this particular school in Newport News, Virginia, where the black people live. She was listed in serious but stable condition at Riverside Regional Medical Center. The teacher has been hailed as a hero for warning the other students to flee when the shooting erupted. The six-year-old, who has been taken into custody after the shocking incident with Police Chief Stephen Drew, which Police Chief Stephen Drew said resulted from a fight and was not an accidental shooting. It says it was unclear what sparked the fight, how the boy managed to get a hold of a weapon. Gregory said that when the teacher told the child to run, they fled to another classroom, remained under lockdown. The mom described Zwerner as her son's favorite teacher, who would leave notes in his backpack. Oh, that's so sad. It's horrible. I hope you had a great day, Gregory said. The teacher wrote in one, I want you to know your smile is contagious. Gregory said her son is still in shock and have nightmares over the shooting. I want to know who's the parents of the boy that did the shooting. Because vicariously, you are responsible for the death of the teacher. Your six-year-old, six, can I say it again? Is this thing on? Six-year-old has a gun, brought it to school, killed a teacher. You are responsible for your children's actions at six. How would a kid know what to do with a gun at six? How would a kid get a hold of a gun loaded at six? The gun must have already been loaded. The kid pulled a trigger on it. It is a shame at what happened. And I'll tell you this, and I'm gonna make a guesstimate, and I could be wrong. I'll correct it after the break. I guarantee you, because I haven't seen a lot of press on this, is that the kid probably was black that did the shooting. You can bet me on it. I'll let you guys know after the break. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back. It's probably highly likely that the six-year-old is probably not going to get charged. The culpable mental state is about 8 years old. So any child under eight, they're not competent enough to understand the ramifications of being charged with a particular crime. It's called culpability. And the culpable mental state is 8 years old and above. So anything under eight, which this kid is six, he's probably not going to go to jail for shooting and killing a teacher. However, there should be, and I believe that there will be, charges filed against the parents if they can in fact prove that the gun came from the house. And I would argue that, you know, for your 6-year-old to get a gun should be very hard. It should be very hard. Like, how can you not secure your handgun? You can shove it under the mattress or something. The kids should never know it's there and have an incredibly hard time getting a gun. I don't know. How do your 6-year-old get a gun? And why is your 6-year-old even understanding what getting a gun would do? And I would have to argue that what probably happened was that you have a young man growing up in a violent, violent environment. Mama and daddy ain't there. I would argue that daddy ain't there. That boy don't have a daddy acting like this. More than likely, it's a possibility that he does. But if you ask me, daddy ain't there. The young boy's parents is probably either using drugs, selling drugs, gang banging or something. And there's a possibility that they are not. But if I had to make a guesstimate, I'd say that they doing something. Listening to rap music and thugged out stuff all day long. Because there is no way whatsoever that your child should think that the solution to any problem or conflict is to grab a gun at 6. Mind you, ladies and gentlemen, he's 6. I'm surprised he could even pick up a gun and hold it and pull the trigger at the same time. He's 6. And the teacher goes to confiscate the gun. I don't really know what that means. I don't know if she was trying to stop him from shooting or she was trying to take the gun from him and she ended up getting shot in the process. Either way it go, it is a very sad situation. And it's unfortunate that teacher lost her life, you know, making $40,000 a year dealing with people's baby kids. And I hate to say it, I hadn't seen the school. I could be 100% wrong. But what I will say is that I feel like this happens all too often at schools where there are minorities, young kids. It happens all too often. Let me see if I have some callers calling in, because I hadn't even looked at it. Do we have any callers? You can call in 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. I want to touch on this subject about this kid named Andrew Tate. You know, there's a lot of people talking about Andrew Tate, and I often wonder, is Andrew Tate being set up, or is he really a sex trafficking person? I would argue, and I don't know the truth, and the truth will at some point. I would argue that Andrew Tate, more than likely, is caught up in some conspiracy, because all too often, if you want to destroy a man's life because you don't like him, you don't respect him, whatever the case may be, all you have to do is say he raped you. All you have to do is claim that he was holding you against your will. And in Romania, I was listening to people explain the laws in Romania. It's not like in the United States of America where you have to have a level of evidence in order for somebody to even investigate a crime of that magnitude. In Romania, you could just make a statement and they arrest you to investigate the statement that was made. And this is what I heard from a person who was in law enforcement speaking to a person in Romania. Now, this could be completely false because I didn't talk to him. But just based on what I've heard and some of the stuff that I've looked at, that could be the case. Why do people hate Andrew Tate so much? It's because they, mostly women, don't want to hear the truth about what he's saying. Now, there's two types of women or people in general that are mad at Andrew Tate. Now, I would argue mostly women. Two types of women that are mad at Andrew Tate. One is the woman who's broken, who knows she cutting up, and it just eats away at her to hear the truth from a man. The other woman is that you don't respect Andrew Tate because the things that he say is disrespectful. And that's two different women. And I would argue the first woman is wrong and the second woman is right. The reason why people hate Andrew Tate is not necessarily if what he's saying is true. It's that people don't like how he's saying it. Now, as a man, I don't agree with everything that Andrew Chase says, because him and some of these other red pill betas, I call you a red pill beta if you think cheating on your woman is like a man of integrity. If, you know, I don't believe that a man cheating on a woman is somehow excused or is somehow less important than a woman cheating on a man. I tell people like this all the time. If I was going to hire you on a job to be an executive and you cheat on your wife, I can't hire you. You're bad for business, and you're a bad businessman. Cheating on your wife is a bad business move. I'm not even talking about the morality of it. We all know it's morally wrong, and it's a sin. But just outside of the morality and the spiritual, you are a bad businessman if you're cheating on your wife. I can't work with you. Because if you don't have loyalty to the woman that you swore to be with her through death do you part and be faithful to her, you swore to her in front of God and in front of your family. If you can't keep that commitment, you ain't gonna keep no commitment with me. And I don't think it's acceptable for men to cheat. In the minds of people like Andrew Tate and others, they believe that men can cheat and women can't cheat because men view sex different than women. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Cheating is cheating. A man is not cheating and with no emotional attachment, because the expression of cheating is emotionally attached to trauma that you're experiencing in your personal relationship is the reason why you're acting out in this way, or it's because you're a dirtbag. It's no two ways about it. If you're with a woman, you be faithful. And if you don't want to be faithful, then leave her. But people like Andrew Tate, that's one thing I disagree with him on, and these other what they call red pill gurus. It's like, you're not a high value man if you're cheating on your wife. You're not a high value man if you're having sex with multiple women. I mean, I'm not talking about multiple. These dudes talking about they're sleeping with thousands of women. You're not a high value man. You are a liability. A high value man has enough integrity and has enough, I guess, sexual restraint in order to not be promiscuous and not cheat on his obligations. That's what I believe a high value man is. A man that's financially stable. You don't have to be a billionaire, but you're financially stable and you're healthy as a person mentally. That's a high value man. High value man ain't how many Bugattis you got. High value man ain't how many women you can get. Because any man that's doing that with that many women, they're broken on the inside. That's a reaction or action display from something going on internally with them. That's not good for business, not good for friendship, and not good for life, if you ask me. All right, let me move on. I got a couple people calling in, 844-900-7243. Mike from Springfield, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello. Hello, Officer Tatum. Love your show. Been listening from the beginning. Say, listen, there was a study. It was very interesting. Police officer came in to a kindergarten class, showed them all the guns, you know, and how bad they are. Don't point them. Don't touch them, and did the whole nine yards. And then what they did was they put a box in the other room filled with unloaded guns, and they let the kids go in their other room to play, and the kids opened up the box, and they all started to grab the guns, and it was cowboys and Indians. I would think that the little kid, I just think the little kid probably thought he was playing. He has no idea that the gun would kill.
Right. Thank you so much for the call. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
The Off Tatum Show. So I think Kevin McCarthy got accepted, uh, I guess, elected, appointed, I don't even know what you call it, as the Speaker of the House, and I wasn't on the radio, I don't think I was able to announce that, but so I didn't get a chance to give my thoughts on it. Elected, okay, you call him elected. It was a vote, he was elected. But I didn't get a chance to give my thoughts on Kevin McCarthy. You know, I don't know if Kevin McCarthy is a rhino and all this other stuff. I really don't have that information. Seems like from what he says, he's not. But a lot of people did not want him to be the Speaker of the House, however he is. And I'm like past the point of worrying about it. You know what I'm saying? Let me just explain that. I'm past the point of being like, oh, man, Kevin McCarthy. It doesn't matter at this point. He's the Speaker of the House, and we got to run with it. We got to run with it. And according to Matt Gaetz, some of the things that he wanted for Kevin McCarthy to do in order to try to get him to the point that he can solidify a vote and be elected is that it says a single member can move to vacate the chair. Another one is a hard line on the debt limit. Another one is votes on term limits and border security, which is incredible. But, you know, they'll never vote for them not to have term limits. So it sounds cute, but I don't think they're ever going to get anywhere with that. McCarthy's leadership pack will stay out of open primaries, open rules on spending measures, and the ability to bring up standalone appropriation bills. Discretionary spending cap, a commitment to set up a committee on the weaponization of the government. I think these are all good demands, and I think McCarthy accepted them. We shall see, though, if McCarthy lives up to his expectations. After the theater that was put on, I think some in good faith, some probably in trying to go viral and all that other stuff. I think that I'm glad that the outcome ended up the way it was instead of a Democrat having position of Speaker of the House. All right, it says, as Republicans launch new legal strikes, Arizona's largest county says 4,800 ballots not counted. All right, it says Arizona Republican candidate Abe Hamady. I know I'm saying his name wrong. I know Abe, though. I always say his name wrong. And Carrie Lake has launched new legal maneuvers to contest the November election as the state's largest county gave its most detailed explanation to date on why it did not count more than 4,800 provisionary ballots cast 2 months ago. Abe, GOP Attorney General nominee, on Tuesday filed a motion for a new trial after a Mojave County Superior Court judge dismissed his and the Republican National Committee's election challenges just before Christmas. While Abe lost December the 23rd, he's forced into public the public new evidence. Let's see. He forced into public new evidence of voting problems in Pima County that even Arizona's new Democrat Secretary of State concedes was troubling. The new evidence is once focused on his request for a new trial. All right, it says during Abe's lawsuit, vote total discrepancies in Pinal, not Pima, but Pinal County, were not brought to the attention of the judge, nor to Abe's legal team, the attorney general candidate alleged. It says regarding the vote count discrepancy, Abe told Turning Point USA President Charlie Kirk on the Charlie Kirk show that the judge in his case was pushed around by the Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs. Interesting to see what's going to happen in Arizona. I wonder, are we going to get some resolution or is it going to be like Donald Trump and it's just going to be noise, and we never get anywhere? I think there was a lot of nefarious things that happened in the election in Arizona. Based on my own personal beliefs, I feel like Carrie Lake won in a landslide because nobody even heard of Katie Hobbs. But however, the results are the results, and we should contest the results and get the evidence that we deserve. All right, you got some of the articles here. It says California's National Guard general fired after he allegedly made troops take his mom shopping. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's fireable. It sounds like it was something he did for fun. It's actually hilarious. California National Guard fired a top commander after reports that he used troops to carry out personal errands and put on a F-15C fighter jet on standby in order to raise concerns it would be used for fighting civilian protesters. That's weird. It says General Jeffrey Magrum is set to be involuntarily transferred this week to the U.S. Air Force Retirement Reserve, which is California National Guard spokesperson, said in parallel to a firing, according to a military.com report. That is interesting. Not interesting enough for me to keep talking about. Let's move on. All right, I got a caller calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Mario, what you got? Mario, you there?
I'm right here, buddy.
All right.
What you got? Yeah, I wanted to first touch on Hamlin's injury. I hope the young man's fine, and hopefully he can play again, but if he's fit. But I wanted to touch on something. No one ever attacks motorsports, and I did a little research. 659 certified deaths since they've kept records.
Wow.
No one attacked motorsports. 659, Officer Tatum. And I don't know if that includes motorcycle racing.
That is interesting. And I highly doubt that has been that many deaths in football. I wonder why. I wonder why they're so adamant about the injuries or the fear of injury in football. Not injury, but like, you know, the fear of death in football. And they're not that motivated to make those same statements in motorsports.
Yeah, because absolutely, when you step into a race car, death is staring at you. I mean, without a doubt, it's there. I don't think it's there for football. I think it's there for injury. I mean, and that's not even counting thousands of injuries in motorsports where they will never race again.
Right.
And there was a lot of spectator deaths as well. There was an incident in 55 where Mercedes left the track, I believe it was in France, killed 83 spectators.
Goodness gracious. That's crazy.
Yeah,
so this is more dangerous than football. I wonder why. Is it just because football is more popular? Why are they? It seems like people.
Well, motor racing is very popular, and having I race cars, and you definitely need to be an athlete when you're reaching 150 miles an hour and up, and you're around a curve. That car wants to go to the wall. You need to have a lot of strength, and if it's for 500 miles.
True. Thank you, Mario. Show. You know what? You know I love y'all because today is the national championship football game, which is the biggest game of the year, and I'm with y'all doing the radio show. That's how much I love y'all. But let me not lie to y'all, I got it in the background, so just in case I need to see it, I'm going to be watching and talking to y'all at the same time. There was an article that I had looked at earlier. A video I looked at earlier where a man had made mention about, I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Let me see if there is that other article that I was looking for. I'm just going to try to find this article. You know, it's funny because I feel like I'm the only person on the radio that's like doing all this stuff on myself. So y'all bear with me. I'm going to try to find this article that I wanted to look at on the earlier, but anyway, I'll move on. So let's go back to what I was going to say. Talking about this article with this guy, man, I felt very inspired by what he said because he was very clear and confident about what he will and will not accept in relationships. And I think that is one of the biggest components that people miss out on or have a huge problem with is how to pick the right person for your life. And men especially make this huge mistake time in and time out by trying to pick a woman because of her looks, not because of what she stands for, not because of that value added to your life. And people, I see this all the time on social media. I see it all the time in these red pill channels, that people consistently are confused. And young men, listen to me clearly, even if you're not young anymore, if you're single and you want to get married, do not marry a woman who has a damaged relationship with her father. Avoid marrying a woman like that. Now, in some off situations, maybe in some hypothetical situations that are not of the norm, I won't say hypothetical, but some that are not of the norm, you could probably get away with doing that. But normally when a woman has a poor relationship with her father, she do not have a functional, mindset on how to, and maybe not even wanting to, treat a man the way a man's supposed to be treated. If you're young, you're looking for a wife, you look for a wife that's invested in your future. Not a person that's going to argue with you, not a person that's going to be in competition with you, but you find a person that's invested in your future. Young men need to get that before it's too late. I was talking to a person that I just met. We were smoking cigars the other day, and he was making reference on this woman that he dated and that he was interested in. And I think they had gotten broken up, been together, broken up. And he had made mention of the perfect storm of what not to marry. And all of these things the gentleman was telling me and saying, hey, this is what this woman does, what the woman does. And I said, what is her relationship with her father? And it was bad. And that is, to me, that's a clear sign that that person needs to deal with their issues. And that's not a person that you need to be entertaining or trying to marry. The problem with young, successful men is that you married the wrong person. It's not that you got to belittle somebody or beat them up or make them feel sorry for themselves. Just don't marry them. Don't invest all that you have into a person that's not going to be conducive for your life. And we were at the lounge, and my wife is absolutely amazing. And I'm not saying this for anybody to feel bad about their wife. My wife is amazing. She don't care. I was out at 3 o'clock in the morning smoking cigars with my friends. My wife don't care. And the reason she don't care, because she know that I'm faithful. She know I have integrity. She know where exactly where I'm at. And she know that it's invaluable for me to have that man time and also be able to network. Those things are invaluable in a marriage and in a relationship. And it's funny, because I know for a fact that there's somebody somewhere out there that disagrees with what I'm saying. But I'm just speaking the truth. And some people don't want to hear the truth. But the person you marry will make or break you. And this is not just for men and women, too. The person you marry will make or break your life. You're better off single than marrying the wrong person, in my personal humble opinion. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm not trying to be the relationship doctor, but I think that these conversations need to be had, and they're very I wish the guy was on the radio saying what I'm saying. I wish that he was on the radio saying the things that I'm saying. We got Relief Factor? In 1 minute? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Relief Factor. I almost forgot to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. Make sure that when you are considering a supplement, I would say consider a drug-free supplement. A supplement that you can take, that you don't have to worry about all these side effects from crazy chemicals that they put in these supplements. So Relief Factor has been wonderful for me, and wonderful for a lot of people that I know. And you should give it a try. Go to relieffactor.com. Start with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95, and give it a try. What do you got to lose? You hear me talk about it every day, and I know you want to try it. What do you got to lose? Relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I have a caller calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Sandy, welcome to The Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed.
You too, thank you. So I had I wanted to make a statement, maybe have you consider restating what you said about a woman's not being qualified who has a damaged relationship with their father.
Wait, hold on. Before you make that statement, I want to make sure that what did I say specifically?
You said to stay away from women who have damaged relationships with their father.
Did I say all women?
You didn't specify. That's why I was.
No, I did. I said, not all women. I said in some situations it's not the case, but I would argue that most women.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I find that very disheartening to make that statement.
Let's talk about you. Are you are you in a healthy relationship with someone?
No.
Do you have a damaged relationship with your father?
I do. But I'm not in a relationship because I'm accused not to be.
Right, true. I mean, but I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I tell people that sometimes, and the reason why I say this is because sometimes when women have a damaged relationship with their fathers, there's a reason or there's something behind that, right? I mean, it's residual effects that occur, and people have to go to counseling to resolve that. And if women don't go to counseling to resolve the conflict that they have with one of the greatest men in their lives, the biggest example of a man and representation of a man in their lives, if they don't go to counseling, they tend to be women who do not have positive relationships.
No, and I agree with you on that aspect of it. When I heard the statement, I didn't hear you specify some or there's a few exceptions, but I think there's more than a few exceptions. And it's not giving women a fair chance. You know, you want to say that they've been through the healing and that, you know, God has redeemed and healed them in a lot of ways in their lives. There's a lot of women who have done that work in their life and still sit single waiting. So it was disheartening to hear it be said as like, oh, you know, caution, stay away. Because to me, if I was a young man listening to what you had said, I would have, you know, completely checked off anyone that's got a damaged relationship and not taken into consideration that they may have done some work.
Right. And I agree, but I would argue that most women have not. That's why it's the situation that it is. And as a young man, you have to take it base by base, right? I mean, you talk to a woman, if you feel like she's healed, feel like she's a great woman for you, then okay, accept that. But I'm saying this because I think a lot of people need to consider it is that if you are having a hard time with your father, it tends to roll down in your relationships. And many women don't realize it and they don't fix it. And I'm not saying that men don't have unique challenges, but they don't fix it. And then they go through life and get into these negative relationships. And they think that, well, it's just because the guy is this way or just because I can't, you know, whatever. I may not be able to find the right man. It's because of some other underlying things that have gone on from childhood that's not fixed. And I have seen in many cases women who have a hard time in relationships don't have a great relationship with their father. And let me just clarify, because I want you to be clear and everybody else. It's not every woman. Anything I ever say is not everybody. I believe that it's maybe a majority, but not everybody.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be like Kevin Samuel, because Kevin Samuel would have went deeper and deeper and deeper and would have just kept going down. But let me bring in a caller from line two. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello, Officer Tatum?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling because I'm a believer and I read my Bible. And one thing I know I've taught men before is that if a woman can't submit to God, she can never submit to her husband. And so, and a father being a father figure of what God's supposed to be in a family, like the father's supposed to be that representative, and it just causes a lot of damage. And so there's a trust issue, but I think first and foremost, if she's not a believer, if she can't submit to God, she'll never be able to submit to her husband the way she's called to.
I agree with you 1,000%. Is that all you want to say?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, sir.
All right, I love that. I love that, brother. Thank you so much for calling in. And you know, let me just say this. Sometimes when people hear things that hit them or make them feel uncomfortable, it's very hard to receive that, right? If you are a woman or a man, right, and you're struggling in relationships, it may be hard to hear that maybe it's because of XYZ that you're struggling in your relationships. And then after a while, if you can receive that and say, well, it ain't me, you know what I'm saying? I know that person ain't talking to me because I'm good. But if it is you, then just take it with you can take it and fix it and work on it and work through it. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I know guys that are just not eligible to date women. It's like, man, if you're not faithful to a woman, what are you even doing? You claim that you want this woman, but you keep dating no good, low life women, and you're dating them just for looks and they dating you just for money. You can't just go down this residual cycle and then expect to have a great woman one day. You have to be a great man. You have to be, like, for instance, when I hear a man say, oh, I'm a 50-50, I'll split the bill 50-50, you're not ready to date. You shouldn't even date. If you don't have enough money to take a woman on a date, because women want to feel secure. They want to feel, I don't care what the feminists say, women want a man who can provide, a man who makes them feel confident that he's going to secure their relationship. You don't want a man that's financially unstable, because it's not necessarily about the money, it's about stability. And that's what men are supposed to bring to the table, is stability, safety, and confidence that this man is going to make sure things are taken care of in ways in which he's supposed to. Nobody want a man that can't provide. Feminists probably tell you that, but man, no real woman want no man that can't do nothing for him. You go to a dinner and that man can't even pay because he want to do 50-50. Well, look, man, don't take a woman on a date if you can't afford it. You shouldn't be dating. You should be focusing on yourself and building your finances. And I get on men all the time about stuff like that. It ain't just women. You know, women ain't the only ones that got to fix stuff and do stuff. And I'd say a man that had a damaged relationship with his mother, that should be a red flag for a young man. Now, let me tell you this. If I say, if you're a woman, and you're my sister, and you got a man that has a damaged relationship with his mother, and I tell you not to date her, men are not going to call in and question nothing I just said. But if I say that about women, women will call in and say, how dare you? You need to clarify. But men will just take it on the chin and say, hey, maybe that's true. But I think the same thing for men. If you can't respect your mom, how you going to know how to respect a woman? Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I just want to make sure I'm clear about the things that I say because I don't want people to get it misconstrued. I'm not saying there's not people that are irredeemable. I know there's people that have a terrible relationship with their father, but they've worked on those issues and they became a better person over time, and they're eligible and ready to be in a committed, faithful, healthy relationship. If you roll the dice and you say the chances are that if a woman has a poor relationship with her father, the chances are that she is probably going to have a lot of issues coming into a relationship. Same thing for men. Men that have a terrible relationship with their mother, either they don't respect their mother or they have exposure and experience to such a terrible act that their mother has done perpetually in their entire life, that becomes a problem. Is that every man? No, it's not. But if I had to roll the dice, more than likely a man will have an issue. That's the same statistical data that nobody would contest when it comes to fatherless homes. If you say, if there's no father in the home, that these are things that could happen. These are, kids have higher probabilities to drop out of school, higher probabilities of being incarcerated. Teen pregnancies are at a higher probability if there's no father in the home. I'm just making statements of fact based on probability. That does not mean that it's you. You may be the exception. That's like if somebody say, man, radio hosts are never genuine about the things they say because they only do it for money. I wouldn't think twice about that because that's definitely not me. And I couldn't care less about none of that stuff. So I'm not going to be offended and say, oh, man, you know, hey, I need you to clarify this. Not every radio host. It's like, well, I know you're not talking about every radio host. And if you were under the assumption that every woman or every man, you are ignorant. You are an ignorant person. There's no every to anything. Every police officer isn't a good police officer. Every police officer isn't a bad police officer. Every Christian isn't a good Christian. Every priest ain't going to do right. So there's no everything or anything. You know, everybody that read the Bible ain't paying attention to the Bible. But let me tell you about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for something that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take it every single day. And I love taking Relief Factor because it works. It's very simple. You get your capsule, you open it up. It's like four capsules in a bag. Open it up, take it every day, twice a day, and it'll keep the pain away. So give it a try. If you've been listening to me and wondering, is he really talking about, is he really real? Don't listen to me. Try it yourself. Go to relieffactor.com. Get started with the three-week quick starter for $19.95. Three-week quick starter. Take it. Watch it work. Order more. Relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel better. I want you to live better, move better, be the best version of yourself with Relief Factor. Go to Relief Factor today.
Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you're not watching the Georgia TCU game, Georgia is up 10-0, and it looks like TCU can't get the ball down the field to save Jesus. I don't know if you are a TCU fan or a Georgia fan, but I tell you what, TCU has been very impressive this year. It's really good to see. And I'm born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas, and actually Coach Sonny Dykes is the was the offensive coordinator at the University of Arizona when I was there. And to see him be on the biggest stage in college football competing in the national championship is pretty astounding. And I think that I'm very proud of him. Because let me tell you this, and I try not to say this, and I'm trying not to be bitter for my time in college, but let me say this. Out of the coaches that coached at the University of Arizona, Sonny Dykes was a good dude. Sonny Dykes was consistent. Sonny Dykes was a good coach. He was a fair coach. I can't say that about the other coaches. Not all of them, but, you know, some of the coaches, and I don't want to say names because I'm really not trying to put people on blast, but they, you know, some other coaches at the University of Arizona when I played there, I don't believe that they were coaches of integrity. And that's why I feel like they may have some success here and there, but they're never going to make it to the big league. They're never going to make it to the big game. And maybe they've changed over the years, but, man, when you're a coach and you cussing out your other coaches and disrespecting them and playing favorites as a football coach, you would never win. You would never win the big game. And Sonny Dykes was the type of coach that was fair, and that's why you see him where he's at now. All right. I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, I'm very proud. I try not to be bitter of my college football career because, believe it or not, man, some coaches destroy players, and then some coaches develop players. And those are two different guys, two different – and if you're a parent and your kids are playing sports, you want your kid to play for a coach that is able and willing to build the character of his players versus a guy who's just looking for fame and looking for his next job opportunity. The reason why I think they do well at Georgia and Alabama and some of these major universities is because they choose character development in addition to athletic and physical development. If you are a player that cannot do your schoolwork like you're supposed to, you don't have integrity, you out partying, they don't know if you're consistent or not, you ain't going to make it that far. I don't care how talented you are. You ain't going to make it that far. And then you do that and you couple that with playing for a team with a bad coach, you're going to be even worse off at the end of the day. But let me just spark this conversation. You know, the other week we spoke about the gender gap. We spoke about, I mean, yeah, just this week in certain radio shows that we spoke about the gender gap. We spoke about minimum wage. We spoke about the role of the woman and man in the household. And we spoke about also the role of homosexuality in the church. And I want to touch on that real quick, because I think that a lot of people, I saw this article and this video, I think it's a documentary, saying that the Bible doesn't explicitly say that homosexuality is a sin. And then I went through and spoke about, I think one of our last segments, I went through and spoke about how it does. I mean, even if you want to not say the Bible has anything to do with it, it's not conducive for evolution in humanity and the human being. But there is a sentiment in church where pastors are openly saying that they are homosexual and they're still pastors. Priests that are saying they're LGBTQ priests. What is the problem with this, Brandon? The watering down of the gospel is the problem. You don't have to be shunned and be ashamed of yourself and be any of those things if you find yourself living in a homosexual relationship. However, you just need to be transparent with the scripture. That's all you have to do. You don't have to lie about it. You don't have to be deceptive. You don't have to somehow think to yourself that you want to change and rewrite the scripture. All you have to do is be honest and God will set you free. And I think that that's something that we should teach more and preach more in the pulpit, because it's invaluable. Now, let me move on to another topic, because I really just want to watch football, but I have to tell you guys about what's going on in the United States of America. And one of the things that I think is incredibly important to address, you know, outside of our political party per se, is that how are you perceiving as an individual, how are you perceiving who you're voting for, who you are supporting in this political climate? Are you a type of person that holds your politicians accountable, or are you the type of person that toe the line? When I say hold your politicians accountable, do you believe the status quo is the best route for the country, or do you believe holding the line even in the face of controversy? And I would argue that anybody under the sound of my voice should be pushing the envelope and demanding more out of the people who claim to want to serve you. We should not just be accepting a person just because they're a Republican or just because everybody else like them. We should be holding people accountable. And I would argue, as a Christian, I want people who are representing me to represent my faith as well. And you don't have to be a clear, direct representation, right? I mean, nobody's perfect, but I want you to consider and represent the faith well, because that's the way I believe that this country should be run. And some people may think it's insensitive to other races. I mean, not other races, but other religions. But at the end of the day, we are a Christian nation. That's why we are afforded all these freedoms, and I could say quasi-freedoms, because I think we should be way more free than we are today. But the reason that we're afforded these freedoms is because of what? The Christian faith. Many of these other countries that have different religions, they don't have it like we have it. All culture ain't created equal. You look at Christian majority countries and you say, okay, what is the fruits of a Christian majority country? Then go look at a Muslim majority country and say, what are the fruits of a Muslim majority country? And you can go down and listen to all these religions. And I'm not here to bash yours. I'm just here to say we ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? Culturally, we ain't the same. And let me say this. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, in America. Now, America is the Americanized version of other religions. It's the Americanized version. Like, even with Islam, like, I have a few friends that I know that are Muslim. I know people that I follow online that are Muslim. But, man, you can't get around Sharia law. You can't get around that. And in these Muslim majority countries where they actually live out the Sharia law and live out a lot of a Muslim, you know, religion, like the authentic Muslim religion, it's not as nice as Muslims here in America. Now, some people may differ and they may disagree and say, no, this is the true religion. And over there is a bastardized religion. But I'm just throwing it out there, because you can look around the entire board. Modern day religion, Christianity, is hands down the most peaceful religion in the world. And I think it yields results. When you see a man pass out in front of the world, and what do? We pray for him. We don't rub crystals together and put incense in the air. We pray to God. And God delivers. And I think he delivered for Damar Hamill. But anyway, you can call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I feel like I need to be doing a play-by-play for you guys that are probably driving on the road and can't watch the game. Some of y'all are probably watching the game and not listening to me, which, you know, hey, I don't blame you. It looks like TCU is getting ready to go in for a score, and they're missing their star running back. And Georgia's missing one of their star players as well on defense. This could be a competitive game. You know, initially I felt like Georgia was going to blow them out, but it looks like TCU is getting ready to go in for a score, which they just scored. So it's 7-10 TCU down to Georgia. All right, call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243 if you want to engage in a conversation. I know earlier a young lady was, I think she didn't like what I said, but she was very respectful. I will say that. I don't want to be bashing anybody that call in and make them feel bad about it, but I think she was very respectful. But I do see a pattern, and I do hope that people do self-reflection and introspection and say, am I what he's talking about, and do I need to change to make things better? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming in on a break. Last hour of the show, the national championship is playing. I'll try to keep you posted. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
I'm not supposed to be a fool now. This I know.
Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
I just can't let you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got to tell you about these amazing bath towels from MyPillow.com. One thing that just grinds my gears, one thing that just makes me incredibly upset, is not having a quality towel. I want to be able to wash my face with a quality towel. I want to be able to get out of the shower and have a towel that actually works. I don't want a towel that's just rubbing water around. I want a towel that absorbs water, that I can feel dry, and really that's quality. That's one of the things that you use, you know, whether you believe it or not. One of the things that you use on a day-to-day basis is towels. And unless you're nasty and you don't take a shower, but for the most of us, you know, you're going to use a towel almost every single day, and you should invest in good towels. MyPillow has some amazing towels. The towel sets you can get at MyPillow.com. Make sure you put in discount code Brandon. Put in discount code Brandon to get a significant amount of money off, i.e. a discount. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got a topic that I want to talk about, and I got some people calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I want to talk about the topic of the vaccine injuries. I really do believe that there is something there when it comes to potential serious deadly injuries due to the vaccine. Georgia just scored again. Due to the vaccine. And I think that people are clearly dropping dead, literally having cardiac incidents that we've not seen the likes of in a significant amount of time. And we're seeing more of it now. And I think it needs to be investigated. It needs to be looked into. And our country should be transparent with what's going on here. Because they couldn't wait to have a ticker up at the top of your television showing you minute by minute how many people were dying from COVID, allegedly. I don't even think that was accurate. They didn't take any time to say how many people recovered. They only took the time out of their day to tell you and millions of dollars of advertising to try to convince you that people were dying left and right and that the whole country was going to, you know, be completely succumb to COVID-19. But I want them to have a ticker now that shows how many people are dying or are suffering serious injury from vaccines. Now, let me preface it with two thoughts. The first thought is you see the athletes collapsing and dying, and you see people, young people that are dying in the middle of the, you know, classroom and stuff like that. I think that should be investigated, but let us not be too overzealous like the left. And this brings me to the idea of the kid, DeMar. And a lot of people was running around saying, you know, DeMar, you know, it happens too often. He died because of the vaccine, and or he was almost dying because of the vaccine. And it's like, let's leave that out. Let's not waste our time trying to prove something like that or jumping to conclusions with no real evidence. It makes your argument look bad. Because the kid clearly had an impact before he passed out. But I'm the first proponent of saying that something ain't right with this vaccine. That's why I won't take it. And that's why I would suggest that anybody else, make sure you consult with somebody before you decide to get vaccinated. Let me go with John from South Carolina. John, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
What it is you had mentioned you had callers calling in saying there's nowhere in the Bible that states about homosexuality. Well, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." And also, if that's just for the Old Testament, we have in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verse 27, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and we have we have 1 Titus chapter 1, verse 10 in the New Testament. And so there you have where it's mentioned in the Bible about homosexuality being a sin.
A 1,000%. I want to read real quick Romans. One, I'm going to start up at 24. Romans 1:24. It says, "Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impunity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relationships with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." And it says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evilness, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, haunting, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteousness decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so this was based on what the caller is saying. I just read you Romans 1, 24 through 31, I believe. And it's not really, to be honest, isolating homosexual people. It's saying that these people are subject to a depraved mind or a debased mind or people who are in their own sin, and God gave them over to it. And when I said, when I read through and you see haters, gossipers, disrespectful to parents, I mean, this is the modern generation that we live in. This book was written thousands of years ago. We're talking about stuff that you can visibly see now. You know, the relationship between two men is lust. In my opinion, I would argue 98% of it is lust for another man. It's not relationships. It's not just because of love. It's lust. And people don't want to admit that. A man cheating on his wife with another woman is lust. That's not love. That's not because God called you to be. You weren't born that way. That's because you've been given over to a certain mindset. And when you get in a relationship with God, God can change your ways. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Oh, baby, I want you back. I want you back. Girl, you know I need you now. I want you, baby.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Hey! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to bring in a caller, Lawrence. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm blessed.
Well, that makes two of us.
And awesome.
I do want to tell you, I love your show. I listen to it any night I'm working late. I'm listening to it on the way home, and I thoroughly enjoy listening to your show. But
I appreciate that.
I do have a question. In light of the scripture that you were reading, Romans chapter 1, and I will tell you, I am a Christian, and I'm married. I have two children. My wife knows what I struggle with, and I do struggle with homosexuality.
Right.
So, but here's my question. In light of reading Romans chapter 1, could you see yourself struggling with the same issue as I do?
Yeah, I could see, because I don't think that these issues are any different, right? The restraint that you may have to have with your struggle is no different than the restraint I have to have with my struggle, right? If I struggle to be with one woman. You know, I'm not saying that's a legit struggle for me now, but it's definitely something that men have to contest with, right? At a certain point, a man may want to be with another woman, but that don't mean you have to. That may be a desire of yours, but that don't mean that you have to fulfill that. Just like you know, I have a friend, one of my really good friends, he's a pastor, and he struggled with homosexuality. But it's a difference between a person saying, hey, I know that this is wrong and this is something that I struggle with and I deal with God daily on this, versus a person saying, oh, it ain't even in the Bible. I can do whatever I want to do. And so I do consider myself that there are things that everybody struggle with. And homosexuality isn't some big boogeyman that have more weight than any other struggle that people go through. And I just think it's one of the struggles, because this, you know, you got to, I mean, pride, lust, anger. I mean, there's so many things that people have to contend with as Christians. But I think that we put a lot of focus on homosexuality because it's a lot more visible. But, you know, if a man is going out and being abusive to his wife, or struggle with being abusive to his wife, or struggle with being violent with other people, that person is going to have to fight that struggle just like you would have to fight the struggle of battling with homosexuality. So I hope that answers your question, man. I mean, I'm not, it ain't nothing. I'm not perfect. And there's things that I have to try to prevent myself from doing as well as a Christian.
Well, I will say this. You couldn't have said it any more better to someone struggling, because, you know, the struggle is a little different, because I don't just struggle with looking at men. I also struggle with looking at women. Being a married man, I love my wife, and I do my best never to disrespect her. by looking at other women. But I also have a dual struggle in that area. And I just say that. But, you know, the verses you were reading, one of the greatest impacts that had on my life was to realize, because having that struggle most of my life, since, I mean, I'm in my 50s. I mean, I've struggled since my teens. But when I read that verse and God put it on my mind, put it on my heart, that Romans chapter 1 isn't a condemnation of just homosexuality. It's a condemnation of sin in a person's mm-hmm. life. And where, and as you read it, where does that condemnation start? It starts in all sin, the same place all sin starts in a person's life, denying right. God. When we deny
1,000%.
Him, everything becomes possible in our lives. We could do right. anything. You can be a murderer because you've denied who God is. And I think from the perspective of somebody who struggles, that's what, and you said it so eloquently, you know, and which is my understanding of those verses. When you deny who God is, anything becomes possible in your life. You become
1,000%. I mean, I want people to understand this. Like, there has been times where people do things and upset me enough that I want to become violent. But because I have a relationship with God, I think about to myself, what has God called me to do and what has God called me to be? If I didn't have God as that filter, I could easily be in prison, or I could easily have done something that I shouldn't have done. I could have easily gone down a path of complete sexual immorality and be living in that even today. But it takes God to do that. Hold on, I got to go to the break real quick. Before I go to the break, I got to tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. All you have to do is give it a try. I know there's a lot of people that listen to me talk about Relief Factor every single day. Give it a try. Get started the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. And I know you didn't blew more than $19 on a whole bunch of other stuff and your back still hurt. So go to relieffactor.com. Give it a try. Relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor. Doing what you
doing, baby? God's Got Your Six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I love that caller calling in and being transparent, man, because I know a lot of people talk about the homosexuality sin, but man, it's a lot of people struggling with stuff, man. When I was a new Christian, brother, I mean, when I first started out, I was hot. I was, ain't nothing could stop me, man. The devil couldn't stop me. But brother, as you live in America, as you move on and you get exposed to all this stuff, it's very difficult to stay faithful to it for some men, right? Some men's challenge may be homosexuality. Some men's challenge is promiscuity. I it was a struggle for me to save myself a marriage after I had my first son. It was a struggle. I never wanted to fornicate. And I'm not trying to put my business out there, but I'm just keeping it 100. I asked for God for forgiveness. And I dated women, and I said, we're going to save ourselves a marriage. And many times I was successful, and many times I wasn't successful. And that was a thing that I struggled with. And I'm sure almost every man that's a Christian have a struggle. But the bottom line with a struggle is that you need to keep pursuing God and keep pursuing excellence and pray that God can help you overcome that. And don't make excuses and say, oh, God made me like this. The Bible don't say fornication technically don't mean fornication. And it's like, no, it's wrong, man. It's wrong. It's going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go. You should wait until you're married. But some people don't have that struggle. Some people have struggle gambling. Some people have struggle being deceptive to other people and cheating people out of stuff. They don't have a sexual struggle. They don't have a homosexual struggle. But the bottom line is, I love from that guy is that he's willing to admit that I have a struggle. And I argue that most men have a struggle trying not to look at women, especially on Instagram. I mean, I'm trying to look for cigars. I'm in a cigar, right? I'm looking at cigars. I'm scrolling through. I'm just in heaven looking at all these beautiful cigars. And then women can't just smoke a cigar. They got to put their chest and booty in the cigar. It's like, well, I'm not even trying to look at that. But women, that's how they build their channel, is that they sexualize it. So men will come back and look at them tig old, you know what, and they not look, and they not looking at the cigars. Man, they looking at the breasts. But as a man, you know, you're going through social media and you're looking at this, and sometimes it's hard not to look at it. Keep it real. It's hard not to, women with the most incredible bodies you've ever seen in your life, and some of it is fake, but it still make you look at it. But as a man, you have to say, okay, if Jesus Christ was sitting here while I was scrolling through my Instagram, would I look at that or would I scroll past it? That's the question you got to ask yourself as a man. And if you're a man and you say, I never had a struggle with looking at anything I shouldn't be looking at on Instagram or whatever, then you're lying to yourself. But the first ability for you to overcome things is that you got to first admit that it's wrong. And then once you know it's wrong, you pray about it. And you put elements in place and protections in place that you don't fall for lusts that you shouldn't fall for. My only biggest complaint against certain people that are in the LGBTQ or whatever the case may be is that they won't admit it. And I know it's hard to admit it because you feel like maybe a person feel like I'm born this way and it's just the way I am. But it's not. It's not. There's desires that I have that I cannot act upon because it's ungodly. Is that fair to say? As a man, you have to make a commitment. Now, I'm newly married, and I don't have a care in the world. But maybe in 20 years, will my mind be as committed as it is today? And as a man, you have to work hard to say, I'm going to be faithful not only in action, but I'm going to be faithful in my mind. Jesus goes through and said adultery. People think that adultery is just the physical sin of cheating on your wife, but it's also in your mind first. If you're cheating in your mind, you've committed adultery. And so I love the fact that caller was very transparent, and I pray for him that God can heal his heart and deliver him and give him peace. And it is not something to be ashamed of, but it's something that you want to work on. Let me get a couple people in who are calling in. Steve from Dallas. Steve, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hey, thank you, Officer Tatum, man. I love you. I love what you stand for. You're amazing.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
You want to ask a question? I'm sorry. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just didn't know if I need to turn my radio down or up because I keep hearing that. Am I okay?
Yeah, we don't hear any feedback. We don't hear any feedback on our part.
All right, good. Well, the thing is, you were talking about earlier about how you know, you should watch and like not marry a woman that didn't have a dad that stood up for her or whatever. She had an issue with her dad. And, you know, I've been married 20 years and I never checked into that. I never, you know, I thought she was hot. I loved her. I thought, you know, she looked amazing. And so I never questioned that. I never looked into that. And so when we got married, all of a sudden you find out these things down the road, you know, that she didn't care for her dad or dad, you know, did her wrong, whatever. So it was not a very good marriage, I'm telling you.
Right, right. And but exactly. I'm glad that you said that. Thank you for the call, because yeah, I'm going to have to go to the break and I don't want to cut you off. But I'm glad you said that, because that's what I'm trying to tell young people, is that make sure you evaluate that. It ain't just looks, man. Looks will get you hurt, bro. I mean, I did that, right? You know, I went straight for looks. Boy, she was fine. Boy, she was fine. But but that's not what men should ought to observe. And she had daddy issues. And men should not observe that. You should observe, you know, a woman who has a stable relationship with men. And that the biggest stable relationship with a man is your father. And like I said, I'm not saying that if you, every woman on planet Earth that don't have a great relationship with them, but they're not marriageable or marriable. That's not necessarily true, but I'm saying it's definitely could be something to consider that you need to consider and you need to have conversations with a woman about. I dated a woman like that. She had daddy issues. She lived with her father, and her father has never said he loved her. He don't even hug her. And so you know how that relationship went between me and her. It manifested itself. I feel bad for her, but I'm not Captain Saver. You know, you need to go to counseling and get that figured out. That ain't my duty. Anyway, I'm about to get ready to go to break, but I want to tell you guys about this amazing, amazing, amazing nonprofit called Save the Storks. My God, I'm so excited to tell y'all about them on the radio. And I discovered something great in my personal opinion on our side, confronting the lies that we're all a blob of tissue when we were born or before we were born. It's crazy. These leftists are crazy. Save the Storks is bringing science and medical truth to women and unplanned pregnancies in a powerful way. They're meeting women right in their path to the abortion business that spends hundreds of millions of dollars marketing to them. I need you to sign up and help Save the Storks save women. Be a monthly partner. Your gift of $35 a month will ensure that more women who are in an unplanned pregnancy are made aware of the choice for life for their baby and themselves. Women deserve the truth, and Planned Parenthood is not giving them real choice. That's why I need you to go to SaveTheStorks, STORKS.org, SaveTheStorks.org, and be a partner today.
You may not want to hear it, but is it true? The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I love having conversations about the things that we talk about because I think life is about more than just politics. Oh my God, he just caught that ball. They said he was out, but he just caught the ball. I'm talking to you guys. I'm watching the Georgia TCU game. Georgia's already up 24-7, and they about to be up more. He didn't catch it. He had his foot out. Anyway, I love having conversations about things other outside of politics. You know, I really do think if we have more conversations about faith in God and about sin, and you do it in a way in which you're not just condemning people, man, because I think it's hard for a person to feel like, well, I do have a chance to be right by God, then they're more likely to give it a try. But if they feel like, oh, I'm just doomed to hell and I'm never going, and like, I don't think that people can recover from that sometimes. So I'm here to say, you know, your sin and your issues are not unique. It's not unique. Everybody got issues, brother. Everybody's struggling. Even me on the radio, man, I have to pray daily. I have to watch the stuff that I look at. I have to make sure that I'm not doing things that will damage my family's reputation and damage me as a person of influence. It's not the struggle is real. I would lie to you if I were to say that I'm somehow above reproach, I'm somehow above, you know, things that men think about in their minds. You know, God didn't stop making beautiful women. But what a man has to understand is that there's more to a marriage, or more to commitment than just looks. You know, my wife is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. However, everybody ain't fortunate like me. So you might come to a point where you think somebody look better than your wife. But at the end of the day, you say, look, God, I made the commitment. It's more to life than that. And you have to fight the temptation in your mind. I don't think every man that cheat is intentionally trying to ruin his family. I think that what happens is a man forgets God. He forget to put God first. Forget to retain God in his understanding and his knowledge and his conversations and his relationships. And then he let himself go down a slippery slope. And you start with flirting. Then you start with exchanging phone numbers and texting on the side. Then before you know it, you done cheated and lost your whole family. And it happens to a lot of guys. And I am smart enough to realize that. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to think it's not going to happen to me and not work towards it not happening to me. Not building those mechanisms in place. Not staying prayed up and putting God first and honoring my wife. Let me say this before I get off the thing. Men that think the grass is greener on the other side, I want you to realize this. It's artificial grass on the other side. And if you focused on building your own grass, it'll be greener than the artificial grass. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will be gone for the next few days. I have to testify in court. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Or no, I'm not. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.